Brian Lehrer on WNYC. This week's online video picks are up on our website, by the way. Each week we select five web videos and I anchor them in a picks video on our site. This week's picks include, what if Mark Sanford's infidelity apology had the same laugh track as David Letterman's? See and hear for yourself. See our five video picks at WNYC.org/video. For years, we've been hearing how American students are falling behind their Chinese counterparts, particularly in science and math education. Shifting to a more test-driven education model, one that more closely resembles China's system, has been a major component in education reforms such as No Child Left Behind. But our next guest, who grew up in the Chinese system, says the United States is hurting itself by adopting that Chinese model. And oh, by the way, China is moving toward ours. My guest is Yung Zhao, professor at the College of Education at Michigan State University and author of Catching Up or Leading the Way, American Education in the Age of Globalization. Professor Zhao, welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hello. Thank you, Brian.
Your argument, basically, is that the United States is moving closer to the Chinese education method, just the schools there are abandoning it for a more inquiry-based system. What did you find, first of all, when you studied Chinese schools in the past few years?
Well, you know, as you said, I grew up in that system, and I taught there and also, you know, went through the system, and I do frequently visit there doing research there as well. So you can see quite clearly China is have had enough, I think, of this test-driven education. They have been moving away from what they call test-oriented education towards more the ability-oriented education. And that's China is very clearly, I think, trying to moving away from the bad consequences which they have lived for many years. I think one of the consequences that while they say their students are getting good test scores and the schools are all working towards good test scores, they're not getting the talents they want to build an innovation-based economy. That's what I think you would normally find in China right now.
And on the U.S. side, it's become nearly accepted fact that the American education model is not working in terms of international competitiveness, particularly in math and science. But you say schools are actually undermining their strengths in this country by overemphasizing high-stakes testing and standardization. How so?
Well, I think that's the point of dispute here is that I think in the media and actually some general politicians have seemed to accept that U.S. and is not doing as well as other countries. But that measure is really based on standardized testing scores, not necessarily on the true capacity. And the reason we learn math and science is to become more innovative in certain domains in science and technology. But if you look at the capacity for innovation in the U.S., it has not diminished. So I think in terms of test scores, yes, we may be behind certain countries, but at the same time, the real capacity, that's what I think education is really about. So we may have a mismeasure of education. At the same time, you know, I think trying to close the gap in test scores, we are pushing for a very uniform way of curriculum as well as standardized testing. I mean, actually, you live in New York, the city of New York, you can see that driving a lot of education reform efforts. By doing that, I think it will leave the, again, the bad consequences that I've seen in China, and even actually not only China, certain other East Asian countries as well. That is, you're basically driving out what may actually matter more in the future of a nation or individual, but it's not reflected in standardized testing. Therefore, I was talking about in my book, saying how this reform is actually destroying our traditional strength that is cultivating a diversity of talents and creativity in our students.
Listeners, I wonder if anybody else has feet in both these worlds, like Professor Yung Zhao does, having grown up in the Chinese education system and being here now. Anyone else with that particular experience? 212-433-WNYC. Or with experience with both education systems in any way. Maybe you've gone over there to teach for a while or whatever. 212-433-9692. How do we compare the strengths and weaknesses of the two systems? Is the United States turning too Chinese? 212-433-9692 or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And, Professor, you say that maybe the United States is falling behind some other countries in standardized test scores, but it's not just falling behind other countries. I mean, some of these measures really are very eye-opening if we take them seriously. For example, in the Program for International Student Assessment in 2006, American students scored in the bottom quarter of participating nations, or 23rd out of 29 countries. So if you're familiar with that, if you think it measures something real, then surely we have something to learn from something else beyond our borders.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, if you look at I guess you're referring to the OECD PISA test, right? That's the standard right now. It's many countries participate in that. But if you look at those tests, if you analyze, you know, who participate in those tests and what those tests really mean, you may get a very different picture. I have not looked at that particularly, you know, that particular test dimension or outcome, but I've looked at other tests previous to that. You will find out, you know, our students who took these tests and may be different population, or there may be different kind of, you know, calculation. But I think what really matters to me, Brian, is that if you look at what the capacity we have and what's been measured and what's not been measured, if you would measure something else, you may find out the U.S. students might be different. And I think I'm not seeing praises to say the U.S. education is doing great and excellent, but I want to say there are certain things that we need to preserve in the traditional strength of the U.S. so that we do not jump into this trying to apply one standard across the nation, or one way of doing things across the nation, and use standardized testing to drive what we, you know, to achieve certain outcomes that may or may not matter, while at the same time sacrifice what we are doing well.
Young Chow, education professor at Michigan State University, my guest on WNYC. He's the author of a new book called Catching Up or Leading the Way, American Education in the Age of Globalization. Coming up in about 10 minutes, by the way, we'll meet Amanda Little, who is going to take us on a tour in great detail of the greenest skyscraper in the world, and it's right here in New York. But right now, Grace in Edgewater, you're on WNYC with Professor Chow. Hello.
Hi.
So you grew up in China?
No, I actually grew up in South Korea until I was 12.
Uh-huh.
And my father and my mother decided that I should go to the U.S. because they have a far superior education system compared to South Korea, where all they want you to do is get the highest score possible. And you don't learn to think. You just learn to give the right answer according to the test. And that really stifles creativity, and that was that a lot of South Koreans know this, and they don't understand why the U.S. system is moving sort of backwards in emphasizing test scores.
Grace, thank you very much. But Professor Chow, is there not a best of both worlds to strive for? Obviously, if the American strengths historically are creativity and innovation, we don't want to stifle that. But if Americans are falling so far behind in the actual technical skills, especially in technology-related fields, behind the Chinese and Indians and others who are pursuing math and science and engineering kinds of degrees, then we need to do something about that too. Is there a kind of best of both worlds to strive for?
Well, I think, of course, we can try. I think the issue, however, Brian, is right now those indicators saying we're falling behind in others in terms of skills, that may not even be true. I don't think this test actually tests those skills. It's just testing, you know, your test-taking abilities to do those things. That's why I think we are putting too much faith on these test scores, which, you know, as if you ask most test experts, they may not test what we think, you know, are truly math or science abilities. I think if you look around in the U.S., now every state has some kind of standardized testing, but those test scores can be perhaps, you know, do not necessarily reflect a certain skills. So I'm not sure that, for example, TIMSS may or PISA may reflect test scores in certain area, but are those scores truly, do those scores really truly mean the ability to do math and science? That's a very different question.
Pepe in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Pepe.
Hi, Brian. It's Pepe. Hey, I'm a byproduct of both the Western and Eastern educational systems. I came to the States when I was 14. And what I have perceived is that the U.S. education system is much more emphasizing on creativity and independent thinking, critical analysis, while the Chinese education system is really on about rote memory, you know, groupthink. But I also have to point out what it does really well is teaching morality to the children, like in terms of respecting your elders, respecting authority. But and another complexity comes in when the current Chinese government, in fact, wants to imitate the U.S. education system in that it wants to not just copy, but wants to innovate and wants to teach its children how to do that. So it started teaching like classes on, you know, how to be creative, how to be musically creative, how to do crafts, how to have art classes, and, you know, thinking independently like we do so well here in the U.S.
Do you think it's working from what you know? Can these two mindsets be synthesized, or are they necessarily at odds?
Absolutely. I think the Chinese government realizes, you know, that what China does really well is copying, right? Like, it depends on the Western companies and corporations to innovate, and then it takes it over there and mass produces products mm-hmm. really cheaply and well. Mm. But now it realizes that, you know, with so many billions of people, you can't just rely on the Western technologies. You really have to synthesize the best of both worlds.
Right. Now, can they teach Chinese children to be creative and innovative and teach them still not to question authority? That's what I want to know.
It's a really hard task, right? If you think about it, I think it's trying to do that in a very controlled environment. It's just started doing that. I mean, if you look at first graders in China, they have like 50-pound book bags, you know, and extracurricular activities up to the roof. But it's a tough choice. It really is.
Pepe, great call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Bye-bye.
And Professor Yung Chau from Michigan State, author of Catching Up or Leading the Way, American Education in the Age of Globalization. Have you studied Japan? I mean, I remember the 1980s when the United States was having the same kind of anxiety about the Japanese education vis-a-vis the United States. I think that's really when the contemporary education reform movement, the testing-oriented one, started in the U.S. And yet, in Japan, I think, unlike China, we can say that they had all this standardized education, and they also had innovation. Because one of the reasons the United States was worried at that time was that it was Japan coming up with Toyota and Honda. It was Japan coming up with innovative music technologies and phone technologies. Is there a parallel here or no with China?
Well, I think, Brian, again, I think we may not have enough time to dive into that, the Japanese innovation creation. I think in my book, I've cited a lot of evidence to say, you know, but who were the innovators in Japan, you know? Were they truly the products of the Japanese education system? Or a lot of times, you know, there may be graduates from other places. So, there's actually quite a number of books exploring that, you know, what kind type of innovations they have, where they come from. So I don't think, you know, the Japanese education system itself is actually producing the type of innovative talents we're talking about. But also at the same time, if you look at Japan, South Korea, and Singapore, they are all, in essence, have been trying to reform the education to be more like the U.S. and to capitalize on more, local creativity. So, like Pepe was right, I think that the Chinese government is working very hard on trying to infuse innovation in there. There's recently a series about, on NPR, the World show, talk about creativity in China. While this government trying very hard, it is very difficult to truly change into a creativity-oriented education because of the whole culture has really bought into what test scores stand for. That's actually my biggest concern is that in the U.S., once the society buys into that, says test scores meant something that everyone should work towards that, then actually that's the most dangerous thing that would be happening to our system.
Before you go, and our next guest is going to give us a tour of the greenest skyscraper in America, and it happens to be right here in New York, do you see a class issue here? Are we heading toward a bifurcated America where the more elite private school kids or, middle, upper middle, and wealthier kids in the United States are studying more broadly, studying for creativity because, for whatever reason, they, you know, they're getting the basics more easily, while poor public school students in the United States are being drilled into this test mentality because it's so focused on bringing up the bottom scores. Do you think we're headed for that kind of social class bifurcation?
Well, definitely, actually. That's why I said that, you know, No Child Left Behind actually has hurt the people designed to help, because, you know, now based on this No Child Left Behind or other similar kind of legislation at the state level, if a child is deemed to be not meeting standard, you'll be put into more remedial courses, and you'll be stuck there trying to do those remedial basic skills. But while these kids may have something, you know, more innovative and may have some strength we should capitalize on.
Right, but I was speaking to a professor at City College here in New York just last night who said that as good as City College has become, she's still a little stunned at the reading and writing remediation that incoming freshmen need in too many cases, and math too.
Well, I would agree. I think there are basic skills that absolutely need to be taught. But the question is that should we use standardized testing to drive that, and how do people develop that? I think there's a general problem is understanding, you know, from larger policy that as if we set up this goal and try to push people, punish people, reward people for having good test scores, then automatically those skills will be developed. I'm not sure that's the right way. What we need is that's probably more trust in the education system, have people work on those things out. You know, you can't really improve people by just continuing testing them.
By the way, I gather you actually pulled your own son out of his Michigan high school because you thought it was focusing too much on standardized testing. Where did you send him?
I sent him to Petty, actually near the U.S. and New Jersey, and now he just graduated. Now he's in college.
You sent him to where? To a boarding school?
Petty, a boarding school, Petty, in Hightstown, New Jersey.
That has a particular creativity-focused approach?
Well, not really. It's just a boarding school, but they have a very international boarding school of a lot of students from different places. And because I also have wanted them to get a more broader view, but just to run away from this tyranny of this, standardized testing.
Yang Zhao, that's Zhao in the English spelling, professor at the College of Education at Michigan State and author now of Catching Up or Leading the Way, American Education in the Age of Globalization. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, Amanda Little, who's written a book based on her coast-to-coast journey through Americans' relationship with energy, will take us into the greenest building in the country, and you may not know that it's right here in Midtown Manhattan. Stay with us.